From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, the government will spend 60 billion won to offer lodging and travel discounts to spur moribund consumption. The mandatory quarantine for COVID-19 patients is expected to be completely lifted in July. And James Heenan, representative of the UN Human Rights Office in Seoul, speaks to KBS World Radio about the UN's report on enforced disappearances in North Korea. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Tom McCarthy. The government will put as much as 60 billion won toward travel and holiday subsidies in a bid to spur domestic consumption and breathe new life into the economy. Finance Minister Chu Kyung-ho announced the details of the plan with a price tag of almost 50 million U.S. dollars on Wednesday during an emergency economic and livelihood meeting presided over by President Yoon Suk-yeol. Noting that private spending in the tourism and lodging industries has yet to return to pre-pandemic levels amid inflation and high interest, the government pledged to offer 30,000 won for lodging to 1 million people and 100,000 won as a vacation bonus to 190,000 workers at small and mid-sized companies. Discounts will be offered for online amusement park reservations and KTX tickets packaged with local tourism programs, as well as at department stores and duty-free shops. Measures to attract a target of 10 million foreign visitors this year will be implemented, such as an expanded number of flights and a temporary exemption of the Electronic Travel Authorization Program for tourists from 22 countries, including Japan, the U.S., and Britain. Korea Disease Control and Prevention Agency Commissioner Ji Young-mi expects the mandatory quarantine for COVID-19 patients to be completely lifted in July. On Wednesday, the government announced a new COVID-19 roadmap to return to normality. The first phase calls for lowering the COVID-19 alert level by a notch to alert from the highest emergency that has been in place since February 2020. At a press briefing, Ji said authorities are expected to make the adjustment in May, at which time the isolation period for COVID-19 patients would be shortened from the current 7 to 5 days. By July, the country would likely be able to downgrade the infectious disease classification for COVID-19 from the current Class 2 to Class 4, after which the mandatory quarantine and the remaining mask mandate would be scrapped altogether. The UN Human Rights Office of the High Commissioner released a report on Tuesday on the crime of enforced disappearance and related violations by North Korea. The report, titled These Wounds Do Not Heal, Enforced Disappearance and Abductions by North Korea, is based on 80 in-depth interviews conducted by the OHCHR from 2016 to 2022 with victims of such disappearances and their relatives, as well as North Korean escapees and foreign nationals who were abducted to the regime but later escaped. In an exclusive interview with KBS World English News on Wednesday, James Heenan, representative of the UN Human Rights Office in Seoul, called on Pyongyang to acknowledge the occurrence of enforced disappearances. Yoon So-hyung has more.
Accountability needs to be looked at closely.
The UN Human Rights Office of the High Commissioner says that victims of enforced disappearance in North Korea have endured continuous human rights violations for over decades. In an interview with KBS World Radio News on Wednesday, James Heenan, representative of the UN Human Rights Office in Seoul, called on Pyongyang to specifically acknowledge the occurrence of enforced disappearances.
I would hope that the most egregious forms of violation are lowered in DPRK. One of them is enforced disappearances that we put a report out on yesterday. We would hope that enforced disappearances are not only stopped, but there is some form of acknowledgement and reparation for victims. And we have over 200,000 people disappeared by North Korea.
The United Nations Human Rights Office in Seoul is urging North Korea to confirm the fate and whereabouts of people who have disappeared under its regime. Heenan said Pyongyang is violating the rights of the victims as well as their loved ones for decades.
One of the problems with dealing with DPRK, it's been siloed in the sense of it's been human rights here and it's been peace and security and non-proliferation here. And a lot of talk about the human rights situation in DPRK, but as soon as there's some crisis, some missiles launched, that talk disappears and we go into a peace and security context. Member states of the United Nations and the United Nations itself are based are built on a number of pillars. Peace and security is one, human rights is another, development is another. We can't just focus on one. So part of our role is to bring those two together.
KBS World Radio will broadcast the interview on its primetime news show, Korea 24, on Wednesday, and the full-length video of the interview on its website. Yun Soyang, KBS World Radio News.
President Yoon Sung-yeol will co-host the U.S.-led Summit for Democracy with the leaders of the United States, Costa Rica, the Netherlands, and the Republic of Zambia. The second Democracy Summit will be held on Wednesday and Thursday, with President Yoon hosting a virtual session on prosperity with economic growth on the first day. Yoon's office said that it is meaningful that South Korea is taking the lead in resolving the global issue of the regression of democracy. On the second day of the summit on Thursday, South Korea will preside over the Indo-Pacific Regional Meeting, which will be held face-to-face, on the topic of anti-corruption. The first Democracy Summit was virtually held in December 2021, hosted by U.S. President Joe Biden with the leaders of about 100 countries in attendance. This year's summit will see the participation of about 120 world leaders. The main opposition Democratic Party has submitted a request for a parliamentary probe into the recent South Korea-Japan summit. During a Supreme Council meeting on Wednesday, DP floor leader Park Hong-gun said President Yoon Sung-yeol's humiliating diplomacy with Tokyo has come at the cost of an insult suffered by the Korean people. Park said the investigation will look into whether there were discussions on wartime sex slavery and dokdo during Yoon's visit to Japan, and whether Tokyo requested the lifting of restrictions on Fukushima seafood imports. The probe will also examine why South Korea took the first diplomatic steps with the withdrawal of its complaint with the World Trade Organization and initiated steps to normalize a military intelligence sharing pact and reinstate Japan on its trade whitelist. A security chief from the former Park Geun-hye government, suspected of ordering a plan for martial law to be drafted, returned to South Korea on Wednesday after fleeing overseas more than 5 years ago. Jo Hyun-chun, former chief of the Defense Security Command, arrived at Incheon International Airport at around 6:30 a.m. from the U.S., where he had been staying. Jo is suspected of ordering a DSC task force to draw up a contingency plan to declare martial law and reported it to then-Defense Minister Han Min-gu in February 2017, ahead of the Constitutional Court's ruling on Park's impeachment. The commander retired in September 2017 and left for the U.S. in December that same year, remaining beyond the reach of a joint military-civilian investigation team that had secured an arrest warrant for him in September 2018. A presidential committee on the nation's birthrate and aging society has pledged to re-examine policies aimed at tackling the chronically low birthrate. In the year's first session presided over by President Yoon Sung-yeol on Tuesday, the Presidential Committee on Aging Society and Population Policy unveiled plans to triple the number of households offered childcare services from the current 78,000 by 2027 and expand the number of publicly run daycare centers by 500 a year. State monitoring of parental leave granted by employers will be reinforced, and additional support will be provided for small to medium-sized enterprises hiring substitutes. The current system covering 100% of regular wages for parents alternately taking 3 months of leave will expand. South Korea lost to Uruguay 2-1 on Tuesday in a friendly football match. In the match at Seoul World Cup Stadium, the Taeguk Warriors went behind to a Sebastian Cortez goal in the first half, but drew level with a Hwang In-bum equalizer 6 minutes into the second half. Uruguay reclaimed the lead when Matias Vecino found the net 12 minutes later, while South Korea were denied two goals by VAR in the latter stages of the match. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index rose 8.98 points, or 0.37% on Wednesday, to close the day at 2,443.92. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. I'm Tom McCarthy.